The New York Knicks go up 1-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers. Chris and I were at the game. We'll do a little game recap and preview game 2. I'm also going to talk about the critics that are out talking about how it is embarrassing for Knicks fans to celebrate outside of MSG. Let's go over everything. They're playing
basketball.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? Knicks are up 1-0 in the series. Great, great first win. MSG was going crazy. Great win. Deuce McBride balled out. The bench balled out. Bojan Bogdanović balled out. Mitchell Robinson, absolutely incredible game. Chris, man, what's going on?
Feeling good, man. Feeling great, man. The Knicks won what I thought was a crucial game one to set the tone against the 76ers, man. How can I explain that game? Lots of highs, a lot of lows, and everything just in between, man. How you feeling tonight, Ant?
Feeling good. This is a recorded episode. Obviously, we normally do the podcast live, but since I am traveling, we're doing a recorded session because the whole hotel Wi-Fi is kind of crappy. But yeah, I mean, look, we were there. We were at the game. It was nerve-wracking in that first quarter. Very tense, very quiet. And then all of a sudden, second quarter comes around and Deuce McBride comes in. And look, I was questioning Deuce's, like, how he'll be in the playoffs because we just haven't really seen it. And he came in guns a-blazing, man. I mean,
yeah.
He's I'm running out of words to describe how great he has been for us this season. And it just has spilled over. I mean, it's one game in the playoffs, but Chris, that one game was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, basically what I was scared of happened, right? The Knicks came out of the gate starting off slow. And what was my, number one thing that, the Knicks don't win if this happens? And it was if Jalen Brunson does not play like Jalen Brunson. And sure enough, throughout that game, Jalen Brunson just, he still had a decent game, but it wasn't the Jalen Brunson we've all grown accustomed to night in and night out. And then you got Deuce McBride just stepping in, owning the moment, not being scared of the moment like many people predicted he might be, after we seen Emmanuel quickly kind of, decrease his play when it came to the playoffs and, whether you want to say it was the bright lights or the moment, opposite with Deuce McBride. Came in firing in all cylinders. And I don't know, man, something about Deuce versus the 76ers, he just goes off, man. And thank God, because we needed every bit of it.
It's something he loves playing Philly. But no, I mean, look, we all know Deuce to be, coming into the season, obviously, we all know him to be a great defender, but his offense hasn't. Look, he's playing with tremendous amounts of confidence. A couple of times in game one, he was just pulling up and splash, pulling up, splash, crossover. I'm going to take you off the dribble. It's not going to faze me. I don't care who's guarding me. I'm going to beat you off the dribble. He had a nice layup even in the second half, I think in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, the Knicks had a 25-point first quarter, and the 76ers had a 34-point first quarter. So the Knicks were down 9 heading into the second quarter. And the second quarter flipped a switch. Obviously, the Knicks dropped 33 points in the second quarter, and Philly only dropped 12. Obviously, the thing I noticed about Philly, Chris, and I wanted to get your take on this, is they seem like they want to get Embiid involved super quick. I was talking about it to you at the game. They want Embiid to get involved early because they don't know, as the game progresses, if that knee is going to hold up. And obviously, he went down in pain in the first half, came back in the second half, but Mitchell Robinson put him on clamps in the second half. But look, they want to get him involved early. And that first quarter they did. And he looked great in that first quarter. He was dominating, getting some questionable foul calls, right? He went to the line. He went to the line, you know, a lot of questionable foul calls. A lot of vulgar language around our section, to say the least. Where every time Embiid got foul calls. But yeah, I mean, look, Deuce reminds me, he reminds me, you ever play like you play 2K, right?
Of course.
He reminds me of, you know how you start my career? You work your way through, you know, the college, you get called up, and then all of a sudden you're a star. Yep. Deuce is like a my career NBA player from Westchester, yeah. Working his way up, grinding, and now he's in the NBA. Sat on the bench for a little bit like you do in my career. You got to work your way in the starting lineup. He hasn't done that yet, but
a little bit of G League.
A little bit of G League, and just he's awesome, man. So that's my little analogy on Deuce. That's what I thought of.
I think that a perfect analogy, in my opinion. I mean, look, that he has a great story, man. And then finding out that he was a quarterback, you know, he played some quarterback. It makes all the sense, you know. And then look, shout out to Deuce for putting in the work, you know, for not complaining. You know, we've saw many times in the past Deuce getting sent down to G League. You know, how many times did he, you know, was re-signed? And brought back. I mean, look, we have to realize we're blessed, man, that we were able to keep Deuce McBride, and for him to develop the way he's developed and giving us what he's giving us, it's phenomenal, man. But going back to your point about Embiid and getting him involved early in the game, I think that's a key for the 76ers, man, because look, early on in the Knicks Sixers game one, I'm not going to lie, man. Embiid got it going quick. I think he had 6 points off the rip, hit a three, you know, an and one. And I was like, damn, of course, Embiid's going to come into game one against us after looking like he could barely walk in the play-in game, and he's going to drop 30. And look, Embiid, for some reason, Embiid just had Iheart's number. Iheart could not guard him for whatever reason. Iheart looked like he was hobbled almost. And thank God for Mitch Robinson, man, because once Mitchell Robinson came in and he started defending Embiid, I think he only made 2 out of 11 field goal attempts when Mitchell Robinson was guarding him.
Crazy.
So shout out to Big Mitch, man, because we needed it. Look, although Embiid went down in this game and got hurt after a ridiculous off-the-glass jam, self-alley-oop jam on OG Anunoby at that. After that, tweaked his knee again, went down, came back in this game, but he was still doing all right. But I think that's the key for the 76ers. Get Embiid going early, because as the game progresses, as he's getting beat down, you don't know what you're going to get from him, you know, or how well he's going to be able to play in this series. I think that's just one of the big keys for them. And then hope that Tyrese Maxey can, you know, bring you across the finish line.
Yeah, Maxey had a good game. They run a lot of pick and rolls for Maxey. Embiid, so I think he had 29 points, but was shut down in the fourth by Mitchell Robinson. Absolutely amazing game from Mitch. Like you said, Iheart, you know, would really struggled a little bit. But I that's the beauty of this Knicks team. It's next man up. It's been like what we saw in game one is what we've been seeing all season long. I mean, and that's why like I made a couple of reaction videos, and I'm just like, national media, I mean, you want to pick against the Knicks, just keep watching. Like, I know it's one game, but this is exactly who they've been all season long. And game one, I mean, Josh Hart in the first half, I mean, I was pulling my hair out. I even tweeted that, you know, Bogdanovich should get more minutes in the second half. I think it was the third quarter, right? And, you know, the guys next to me were like, come on, Josh, a lot of jump passes. Fourth quarter, you know, shut us all up. I mean, so that's Tom Thibodeau trusting his guys and hit another big three back-to-back years. big clutch threes in the fourth quarter. And I don't know, he turned – it was an amazing game from Josh Hart. So
– yeah.
But that's been the Knicks all year. That's been the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Josh Hart was maddening, right? He was hesitant early on. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't attacking the paint like he normally did to end the season. You know, he was being so aggressive, and we got kind of used to that, or I got used to that at least. Josh Hart pushing the tempo, getting into the paint, you know, trying to draw a foul or lay it up. You know, he wasn't doing that. He was backing down. He would have an open layup, kind of just bring the ball back out. It was maddening. And I was like, man, Josh Hart is just having a terrible game. But like you said, late in the game, like the blink of a moment, he was just, boom, big three after big three after big three. And it instantly became, oh, man, Josh Hart is having one hell of a game just like that. So, I mean, look, like you said, that's the Knicks. That's been all season long. This team just fights, man. Just when you think they're out, boom, they come right back. And look, man, I'm loving this win because it wasn't just like, you know, I wanted a blowout initially. But having this type of win where you have Jalen Brunson not playing his typical efficient game, you know, you got Embiid basically giving you 30 points, which, look, if you would have told any Sixers fan Embiid's going to drop 30, they're going to feel like, oh, we're winning this. Maxey dropped, what, 30 also, 30 plus also. And the Knicks still pulled out this win. So, come on, man. I'm feeling great, fantastic about this win and the series going forward.
Yeah, game two is on Monday, depending. It's on Monday, and it's at home. It's going to be crazy, another crazy environment. I guess we can look game one. Look, we touched on Brunson. The thing is, game one, what I loved is that Brunson had a bad game. DiVincenzo had a bad game. And we still beat the 76ers because obviously Deuce and Bogdanovich, who has had playoff experience, and it showed in game one. I mean, some of the shots Bogey was hitting was extremely tough. Like, he would just catch and shoot quick release stuff. And Mitchell Robinson built for the moment. Yeah, he's one of the dogs on the team, Junkyard Dog, along with Hard and McBride. And look, Brunson obviously was clearly getting bothered by Philly's length. I think he's been inefficient all year long against Philly, and it's because of their length. And he even said they were playing great defense on him. He even admitted after the game that he played like crap. But knowing Brunson, he'll bounce back, and he was missing a lot of those shots were open too.
Yeah.
Like, he was just missing his normal prototypical mid-range and his floaters, just normal stuff that, you know, I'm not, like, when I look at Brunson, like, it's, I'm not even remotely concerned about his game one. Yeah. But Philly's length does bother him, so that's something that the Knicks got to adjust to.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, a lot of Jalen Brunson's shots, like you mentioned, were open. You know, he was getting to his spots. And what I noticed is that they were almost all of them were short. That was the thing. And, you know, when halftime rolled around, Jalen Brunson came out there. He was practicing and shooting. And I was watching him closely. And he shot a couple. And they were still short. So I think, you know, I attribute that to the layoff in between. You know, it was game one. Knicks hadn't played in a while. Maybe he was just a little bit rusty trying to shake off that rust. But again, look, with Jalen Brunson having what I guess you can call a bad game, still dropping 20 points, you know, Knicks fans nowadays, you see that and it's like, damn, what happened to Jalen? 20 points. Meanwhile, any other, you know, NBA star dropping 20 is like praised upon. But look, we're used to Jalen dropping 30, 40 a night. And he had his opportunities out there. And that's what gets me more, you know, excited. It's just that normally he's going to hit those shots, especially when he's open. So this easily could have been a 30-plus game for Jalen Brunson. So, again, man, the vibes are immaculate right now.
They are. And, look, a lot of clutch shots in the fourth quarter. Philly went zone a few times in the game, was bothering the Knicks a bit. But the Knicks were making their adjustments. They were getting – passing the open man. Like you said, Josh Hart was being left open. They weren't respecting him. So fully expect Philly to just keep going zone and like they after the game they said that they'll live with those shots that the Knicks made. And you know, hey, I mean, they obviously they want to leave Josh Hart open, and because he's a 30% 3-point shooter, he's not a good 3-point shooter, but you can't teach clutch, right? You can't teach those instincts. And what Josh Hart has shown us is these last couple of seasons versus Cleveland in game one. And I guess that's why game six down in Miami haunts Jalen Brunson, because if he makes that pass to an open Josh Hart, what he has shown us is, you know, he can knock those shots down. So, and he's been clutch, Chris. So look, Philly said they'll live with them, but if he's hitting them, it's going to be a tough series for Philly. I really do think it is. So,
hey, man, you can't teach Hart, right? You can't teach Hart.
Nope.
But I'll tell you this. If the same situation rolls around again, you know, the same scenario, do you think Tibbs will leave Josh Hart out there? I mean, look, granted, yeah, game one played out that way. He left Josh Hart out there. Obviously, Devo wasn't having, you know, the best game. You know, he had a lot of turnovers in game one. Kind of didn't see the floor the second half. Do you think Tibbs switches it up, though, and just goes, hey, man, if I had Dante DiVincenzo out there in that spot where Josh Hart was, you know, that forces Philly out of the zone, in my opinion, right?
I don't. Like, he just, like, Hart does so much other than, you know, one like needing to score. Like, he's the rebounding alone will keep him out there. I mean, Philly, I was on some Philly YouTubers channel, and they're complaining about the offensive rebounds, but I'm just saying to myself, like, that's the Knicks, like, offensive rebounding, going diving for loose balls. That's why we've been saying, like, it's going to be tough for Philly, because that's not their game, but that's Josh Hart's game. So I know Devo will snap out of it. Hopefully, he'll snap out of it. But it's just, look, bad game out of our backcourt, and we still won. So,
yeah,
that's game one. Game two. Oh, so after game one, Chris and I were walking out. Obviously, it was absolutely crazy in the streets outside of MSG. We couldn't even move, number one. I thought I lost Chris for a second. So I was obviously
plenty of times.
So obviously I'm doing like recording, you know, as much content, putting out on the TikTok, on the Instagram. And I think I was live on YouTube, and Knicks fans are going crazy. Like, F Trae Young, F Embiid, we want Boston, you know, the typical Knicks fan stuff. But they're excited, right? They're excited. But today I'm seeing a bunch of people like, this is embarrassing. You guys should be ashamed of yourself because it's just one game. And I think Jordan Renaud tweeted a lot. I've seen it a lot from a lot of people. But what I want to tell those people is, like, you can't tell someone how to be a fan. Like, the Knicks fans have been craving and dying to celebrate for years. Like, we haven't had anything to celebrate. It's been dog shit, to say the least. It's been completely a crap show. So now that we're actually relevant and winning, you have those people coming out. Like, the few bad apples, Chris, yeah. Like, the FN, like, FMB, F Trae Young is kind of hilarious to me. Like, I still get a chuckle out of that. I don't mind that. But the two guys that were burning Embiid's jersey, I don't condone that crap. Like, those are some drunk idiots.
Yeah.
But people going crazy on the streets, like, it's just like the old man yelling at the cloud. Like, that's what it reminds me of.
That's that get off my lawn, right? Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, look, like you said, that, you know, as Knicks fans, we haven't had, you know, throughout the years, right? We haven't had much to celebrate with this franchise. So look, man, going to the playoffs, you know, in back-to-back years, why not celebrate, right? Why not celebrate your team? Why not celebrate a hard-won, you know, game against, you know, not your typical, you know, play-in winning team, right? So, I mean, in my opinion, I don't see nothing wrong with it. And like you said, yes, there are some people that get carried away, probably say some reckless stuff, do some reckless things. But look, that doesn't have to, you know, summarize the fan base. You know, that not everybody's like that. Everybody's just out there having a good time, you know, celebrating this team for the hell of the season that they're having. And, you know, always being an underdog, per se, in a lot of these games. So I don't see anything wrong with it. And like you said, you can't tell the fan base like how they need to act as fans. Yeah. You know, everybody's out there. They're paying their hard earned money to go out there and watch these games, and how they want to react is how they want to react. And again, I don't condone any violence or burning, you know, Embiid jerseys, things like that. I think that's dumb. But at the same time, that's a few bad apples, like you said, in comparison to Knicks Nation as a whole. Yeah. So, like, I mean, what do you want them to do? Just be like, oh, great game, guys. We'll see you guys in game two. Everybody, let's go. Let's get hit the train in the subway. Yeah. This is fun. Like, I don't get it. I don't get
passionate,
it.
Passionate, man.
This is a passionate fan base. Look, this is what it is all about in New York, right? You know, we love basketball. We love this team. You know, when any of our teams are doing great, we come out and we show the love. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't either. So that was that. Then Chris and I, obviously, it was a mosh pit. It was absolutely crazy, man. I mean, yeah. You have to experience it, honestly, to just, like, picture what I'm trying to say. Like, it's after a win, I mean, after a loss, everyone's just, you know, obviously going about their ways. But it's electric, man. Even walking out the stadium is crazy. But yeah. Awesome win. But that's just one, right, Chris? That's just one game. One game in the books. Still got another one at home that we need to get. So let's get to the game two preview. So I think Embiid is questionable again, but I'm fully expecting him to play. Philly fans are, you know, they don't know if they're withholding, you know, whether Embiid is hurt or not. Or, like, I was listening to some Philly YouTuber, and he said that, you know, they're like the Knicks. They're being very vague about Embiid's knee. So I'm expecting him to play, but I'm expecting, you know, obviously to get him involved more. I'm expecting more zone out of them. Maxey was amazing in game one. So he can only, like, the Knicks have to kind of figure out how to slow him down, because Philly loves to get him on the move. And they use a lot of, obviously, picks, and they have him in motion. But yeah. I think in the second half, the Knicks kind of figured something out with that. But he's a great player. He's going to get his points. But their role players didn't step up. I mean, Tobias Harris, no show. Buddy Hield, no show. So I'm expecting in game two, one of them to step up. Maybe we'll see more campaign on their part. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think Philly will throw out the Knicks in game two? I also heard that they may play Paul Reed and Embiid together more, because their rebounding is awful. So that's what I heard.
I think that would be a hell of an adjustment by the 76ers. Because, like you mentioned, Embiid getting hurt in game one. And what did we see after that? He wasn't in the paint as much. You know, he was just sticking around either the free throw line or past the, you know, 3-point line. And he didn't really want to go down low and bang after, you know, he got hurt. I mean, I was surprised he even came back to game one at all, because it looked like he was done. Yeah. But I think adding Paul Reed into the mix with Embiid now allows Embiid to be out there, and they still got somebody down low who can still grab some boards for them. Because let's be honest, that's going to be a strength of the Knicks. They're going to be able to get rebounds with Mitch, with Ihart, with, you know, OG Anunoby out there as well, and Josh Hart for that matter. So I think that'd be a good adjustment. And when it comes to Tyrese Maxey, you know, like you mentioned, Knicks figured something out late there. They started putting Jalen Brunson in between the screens that they were setting up high for Maxey. And that kind of, you know, stopped Maxey in his tracks. That broke down that motion late in that game. And who knows what the counter is going to be from the 76ers. But I like that, man. It shows the growth that Tibbs and the coaching staff has made. Because if this was the last year's playoffs, he probably doesn't even make that adjustment at all.
Yeah.
So that was a really good takeaway I took from it, and I was so happy about that. One thing I will say, though, is as far as who the 76ers might throw out there more, I feel like we're going to see a lot more of Kyle Lowry, man. Because, man, did he hit clutch shot after clutch shot. I mean, MSG was rocking late in this game, and Kyle Lowry, I think he came off a curl and hit a fading three-pointer like Reggie Miller and drained it to cut – I think it was to cut the game to 3 points or something, and it was just massive. The whole stadium just deflated.
Yep.
Kyle freaking Lowry, man. I had a feeling, man, he was going to be a pest.
Yeah, likewise. Annoying little guy. Built for the moment. Another guy, you know, Villanova guy, built for the moment. Big shots. Like I said, coming into the series, he knows how to dupe the refs. He was doing it. The Knicks, I think they fouled him behind. Iheart fouled him when he was shooting a three, but Lowry was jumped into him. But he knows how to do those little things that'll get him, you know, foul calls pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, how many minutes? I think in game one he played quite a bit. So yeah, I think look, they're gonna try to get him involved, obviously, but. Yeah, in terms of – so I think Philly would play Paul Reed more, and they got to get what their shooters going. They got to get Batum or Buddy Hield or someone going, because the Philly, in their non-Embiid minutes, they were awful. They were terrible. Embiid played the entire first quarter, second quarter, and that's where Bogdanovich and Deuce did their thing. But, yeah, so that's on their side. I think the Knicks – look, we didn't play a perfect game, and we still came out with a win. So there's still room to improve, believe it or not. You obviously, Brunson's efficiency has to improve, and I fully expect it will improve. DiVincenzo, even though he really didn't have a good game, got pretty much McBride took his role there in the fourth quarter. Pretty much played the entire second half, Deuce McBride. So, but Devo, I'm not concerned. We haven't talked about OG. I think OG, you know, was a little bit underrated today. You know, in game one, 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 steal. But, you know, his length was just bothering them. And so, look, 3 of our guys in our starting 5 play like crap, man. I mean, Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Hartenstein. They play like crap, and we won 111 to 104. And look, game two, just more of the same. And if two of those guys perform well, then we got a shot. Because if Deuce can do this, and Mitchell Robinson can do this, and Bogey can do this, and, you know, we predicted this 8-man rotation, and people were saying, would Precious play? He didn't play game one. So, look, just more of the same from the Knicks. You know, they shot really well from 3, 16 to 35, 45%. Free throws, they did. They missed what? Ooh. They missed 7 or 8. That has to improve.
Yep.
But I thought, you know, it was a good game. Just do more of the same in game two, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this was a really, really game. And look, late in that game, I was having my doubts, man. You know, again, Josh Hart came through big for us, which was amazing. Mitch with some clutch free throws, man, at the end there when they did the hack-a-Mitch, basically, which, man, the Garden came alive when that happened, right? But, yeah. Look, this is going to be a tough series, you know. Look, I know Embiid is questionable. You know, like you said, I think he's going to be out there because, you know, again, once he did that self alley-oop dunk, got hurt and came back, you know, I have no doubt he's going to be out there game two. I'd be shocked if he's not out there game two. So this is going to be a tough matchup, man. And in the same ways, you could say, look, if Jalen Brunson was Jalen Brunson, you know, normal Jalen Brunson game, and we get more out of Devo, you know, that we know he's capable of, it could really be the same way for the 76ers, you know. Yeah, Embiid's hobbled, but if Maxey has a similar game like he had in game one, and somebody like a Batum, or even a Tobias Harris steps up and gives you a decent game, you know, you're talking about a much closer game, possibly, you know, it going the other way. So, look, 76ers are definitely coming out there with the energy. And, you know, we got our work cut out for us. But I definitely like, obviously, what happened in game one and how I feel going forward, because the Knicks are still clicking, man. And, again, Jalen Brunson going out there and giving you his prototypical game is just going to cause havoc, in my opinion, from the 76ers, because all the attention will go to him, and then they'll have to double him more so than ever, and our guys are going to be left open for open threes, drives to the basket, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a fun series, man.
Yeah, I don't foresee it, like, being Nixon, like a sweep. It's going to be, look, game one was tough. Philly's a tough team, man. I mean, but it's one of the most exciting playoff matchups, you know, in the NBA, I think. Yeah. It's just going to be a back-and-forth affair. Philly doesn't want to go down 2-0. If they go down 2-0, look, that's why game two becomes huge. If the Knicks can go up 2-0,
oh, man,
all you have to do is get one in Philly, and then, you know,
got
to
steal one,
and then we're good. But Philly's going to try everything. They're going to throw everything at JB. They don't want to lose this game. They don't. But, yeah, more of the same from the Knicks. I think Tom Thibodeau, heck of a job he's done. Wasn't in the final three finalists in Coach of the Year voting, which is kind of absurd, in my opinion.
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, even Josh Hart on Twitter was like, it's ridiculous. So with that, dealing with all the injuries, so shout out to Thibs, even though the NBA or whoever, the voters or whatever, doesn't recognize him, we do. He's had an amazing season. So, yeah, Chris, I mean, like I've been saying, man, national media, just keep watching, man. Just keep watching and keep giving us your little highlight thoughts, you know? Keep watching them highlights and just get your analysis off of those highlights, which is what you've been doing all year long. So,
yeah, man.
Just keep watching and keep watching the fun.
Hey, man. I hope they're actually watching, because I think that's the thing, man. They're not really watching this Knicks team. They're going out there, hot take after hot take, disrespecting Jalen Brunson, you know. It is what it is, man. But I really don't think they're sitting down and watching these games. But this is the playoffs, right? Everybody's watching now. Yep. They're going to see what this Knicks squad is about, man. Even, you know, in losses, this Knicks team just doesn't give up to that buzzer in the fourth quarter. It hits. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I can't wait for game two. I know Philly is going to come and bring it game two, man. Because like you said, they do not want to go down 2-0 to this Knicks squad. And I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'm predicting great things to happen, you know. Three of our big top dogs on this team did not have great games in game one. We still pulled out a win.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks, again, I think it's going to be the Knicks in six, man, in this series. Because Philly's gonna win one of these.
Win game two, know? And it's Knicks in five, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. If game two is ours, then forget it. I got to change to Knicks in five.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not going to look. Not going to be easy. Tough series. Game one wasn't easy, but yeah, hopefully the Knicks can pull it out. And another funny thing, Chris, I tweeted a picture of the Cuomo Bridge, Governor Cuomo Bridge. And, you know, it was the Tappan Zee Bridge, right?
Yeah.
So I said the Cuomo Bridge is lit up orange and blue because they lit it up orange and blue because the Knicks won. So many people came after me. They're like, don't you ever call it that. It is the Tappan Zee Bridge. It is not the Governor Cuomo Bridge. It is still the Tappan Zee Bridge. Don't call it that. So I thought that was funny. That was hilarious.
No, man. Yeah. Yeah. Look, that's definitely New York for you, man. Yeah. I mean, look, it will forever be the Tappan Zee Bridge. That's with me as well. I still can't come to grips with, I'm going to say the name for that matter. Look, it's no secret. A lot of New York faithful were not happy with that change. So Tappan Zee it is, but that's hilarious, man. That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. All right, Chris. So, Knicks fans, do you want a Deuce McBride signed jersey. Well, autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards. By bringing the best content for your team into one place, Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Get all of your sports content in one place. You read the articles from your favorite team's blogs and publishers directly in their app. Listen to the top podcast hosts in their app. Chris and I are in their app. If you download Autograph, you'll see the Knicks Nation podcast in Autograph. So you pretty much earn rewards for listening to Knicks content. And they're giving away a Deuce McBride jersey, which is signed jersey. I mean, he had a great game one. So just download the Autograph app and start getting rewarded for all the things you already do as a fan, like reading news. All you have to do is download the Autograph app in the link in the show notes and use code NYK to get access. And yeah, Chris, I mean, Deuce McBride Autograph jersey.
That sounds amazing.
You gotta get that.
So I'm gonna try to get that.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, anyone can enter. So link is in the show notes. Use code NYK. And then look, our podcast is in there. So shout out to Autograph for supporting us. But yeah, Chris, game two, we ready. Let's get it done.
We ready, man. We ready. Let's go in there, fight hard, and hopefully come out with a win, man. 2-0, yeah. Baby. 2-0. Yes, let's go 2-0 on these 76ers.
Yes, sir. Let's go. All right. This was fun. I'm Anthony.
I am Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.